rental. You got motion if you own a bitch. You got motion if your mama out the trenches. You got motion if you in school for business or for dinner. You got motion if you level headed and maintain a good mental. You got motion if you got a car and don't waste your bread on fucking rentals.
What's going on, Motion Crew? Y'all already know what it... Oh, no, my bad. Let's run it back. What's going on, Motion Movers? Y'all know what it do and what it don't. It's your boy Ryan here coming from the hottest podcast, Millennials in Motion, where we give that real, relatable, entertaining spill on adulthood from the black perspective. Here with another episode, another installment, Millennials in Motion. I'm going to let my crew introduce themselves. We're going to get right into it, man.
What's going on, y'all? It's your boy Molly Ma, Brenner 305, aka Mr. Brenner Campus Law, the hottest personality here on 90.5 The Flavor Station.
Walk on, it's your girl Camille back again with the back end.
What's good? It's your boy J Love. I'm back at it again.
Okay. So we gonna get into it to the icebreaker. So the icebreaker came from a video that I had watched on Instagram dang near, but I'm kind of intrigued to see what y'all idea would be. So basically, the video was like a clip from a movie. I don't remember what the movie was, but it was a cartoon. And basically, her mom's had basically her whole life planned out from like the moment she was born until whenever she dies, basically. And it was like, it was literally every step, every plan, everything laid out pretty much from head to toe. So that made me curious and wanted to ask y'all if y'all were able to see like the whole entirety of y'all life plan from like when you're born to the day you die, would y'all want to see, would y'all even want to see what that would look like or no?
Yes.
Why?
Because I always question what's next. And I wouldn't have to question myself no more. Even though I believe in God's plan and what he got for me, it would be nice to see it.
Nah. See, for me, I don't think I want to see it because I'm the type of person that is like, when I know something, I start to move a different way, you feel me? So it's like, if I see like how I'm going to go out or whatnot, I'm gonna try to do whatever I can to prevent it. So, you know, I'm not gonna really enjoy my life because my whole life I'm focusing on like trying to prevent something from happening. So, I wouldn't want to know.
There was this movie called Interstellar. I don't know if y'all ever seen it, but basically,
I've heard of it before.
Yeah, it's like it's about space and like time and like different dimensions. And basically, he traveled to a different galaxy, and what happened was he went into a black hole, and in the black hole he entered like this kind of like interdimensional kind of space to where he could see Earth, but like almost as if like he was like in like a, like we live in a 3D world, he was in a 5D space, so he was able to see Earth but kind of like
in like a bigger format
and like from the outside looking in almost. So in the movie, he was trying to stop, he was trying to get his daughter to stop, to tell him not to go on the space trip, basically. Like he was able to travel back in time, and he was trying to get his daughter to, he was trying to send messages through
certain currencies.
He can't directly say it, but like he was able to, like for example, if the headphones was to fall off the table, like he was able to like shake the table and like stuff like that. So he was communicating through Morse code. So there was this bookshelf in her room, and he made specific books fall, and the message that he made was stay. But at the time he didn't believe his daughter, even though his daughter was telling him like you should like stay. He didn't believe his daughter, he still went on the trip. But that just made me think about it, because it was like, would you want to see your life in its entirety? But going off of, you feel me, what Jermaine said, it's like if you live your life like that, you're gonna always be trying to prevent certain things from happening, or like always be trying to get out of specific situations. And I think like I wouldn't want to live like that.
You just want to live, period.
Yeah, I think the enjoyment in life comes from the surprise. I think if I knew everything that was gonna happen, it would just be like, I know this is gonna happen. And then also it's like I'd be kind of scared, like I don't know. I wouldn't want to see that.
Yeah. Nah. That's real.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I have a question for you, Camille, after I say this, but I was going to say, I wouldn't want to see my plan because of the fact that I feel like that would alter the way I would look at myself and just the way that I feel like I would grow. Because more than likely, all of us, we all have plans, dreams, and aspirations and whatnot. But we always have questions on if we're going to get there, how we're going to get there, who we're going to meet along the journey, this, that, and the third. But I feel like it's those things that kind of comes together to make you the person you are. So I feel like if I was to know all of those things already laid out, and I really wouldn't be happy with certain things the way how it would be laid out, it kind of be like, well, dang, like, kind of what do I do at this state and point? Which kind of leads to my question to you. You were saying you want to see how your plan is laid out.
Mm-hmm.
If there's something within that plan that you directly don't really rock with, you don't agree with, or you wouldn't want to happen, how would you feel, or what would be kind of your reaction in that case, to where, let's say, like, oh, such and such happens, or somebody that you care about, y'all aren't friends anymore, y'all aren't family anymore, mm-hmm. this, that, and the third. Like, how would you feel? How would you kind of react in that sense?
Honestly, I don't think... I understand y'all's perspective of, like, not wanting to know and just wanting to, like, live life with a bunch of surprises, but I feel like I've already been through, like, a lot of stuff. Like, a lot of stuff has already happened. Like, people that I didn't think would leave my life left, people mm-hmm. that I thought I would be friends with forever, I'm not. Certain situations that I thought would never happen has already happened. So it's just, like, I think I would just take it at face value and be like, okay, like, that is what it is. I don't know. I think I'm just in a space where it's like, I'm going to accept whatever comes to me. So me seeing my life laid out isn't going to change, like, how I move my day to day.
Yeah, but can you really say you lived if, like, you weren't about anything?
I'm not going to worry, though. I'm not going to worry. Like, I'm not a person that's going to worry about it. Like,
All right, so look.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say, God forbid, right? You mm-hmm. see your whole life, and then they like, tomorrow, you finna get in that car accident.
Mm-hmm.
When you wake up tomorrow, you probably not even gonna get in the car.
I'm not scared to die no more.
I feel that. I'm not scared to die. But, like, it's like, don't you feel like subconsciously you would, like, be trying to alter
it? I feel like if y'all asked me this a year ago, yes. I feel like if y'all asked me a year ago, I would be scared. I wouldn't want to see it. But, like, now...
It is what it is, bro.
Like, I've experienced so much, bro. It's like, I'm literally walking by faith every day already.
Mm.
So it's like, to see my life, you know, it would just... I feel like it would be a blessing, like, to me to be able to see my life, because a lot of the stuff that has happened, I dreamed of it happening and it actually happened.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, to see it and to know, okay, like... And I wouldn't mind knowing how I'm gonna die, too. Like, if y'all saying my whole life is planned out, like, knowing when I'm gonna die and how I'm gonna die, I wouldn't mind knowing that now either. Because, like, I said, I'm not scared to die anymore. So I'm not scared to see, like, what's next. Even if somebody does, I end up losing somebody or a situation is about to come up. Like, I'm not scared no more.
Okay, so I have one more question for you. And if it's too personal, you don't gotta answer it. But mm-hmm. what point do you feel like kind of led you to where, like, you just wasn't afraid to, like, if the blueprint was laid out in front of you, you wouldn't be afraid to just live from that blueprint anymore? Like, or even just, like, you saying that you're not afraid to die, mm-hmm. like, was there a certain, like, point, a certain current event that kind of led to where it's like, I'm just not going to worry, I'm not going to be afraid no more?
A big factor was my grandma dying, but it's just like, yeah, that's definitely at the forefront. And then it's just like, through a lot of situations, I've just learned you truly just gotta let go and let God, like,
mm-hmm.
and that's just how I've just been living my life, and that includes, like, death, because at a certain point of time, I was scared to die. Like, you gotta understand, like, I learned what death was at an early age. Like, my friends started dying early, mm-hmm. you feel me? So it's just like, I didn't really understand death at a certain point of time, but death is your ultimate freedom, so... That's not nothing to be scared about. I just hope that before I die, I make a certain type of impact. You feel me? So my name will live forever. My spirit will live forever. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah. I mean, my grandma death, I really took that hard. So that was really, like, the forefront of everything. But I feel like everything all together is what got me, like, to this point I'm in right now.
I agree. Because definitely for me, one of those things that like I always said like I was never really afraid to die, but that was just, I think my biggest fear is more so not being able to accomplish the things that I mm-hmm. feel like I need to accomplish before I die.
Right. What does that look like? If you don't mind me asking.
Of course. I mean, leaving an impact, like Camille said, you know, I think like ultimately everybody is here for a reason, for a purpose. So I feel like if you were to die before you complete that purpose, your life is like, it was like pointless. So it's not like, you know, that's why I say like I'm not really afraid to die. It's just more so I want to get what I want to get done mm-hmm. in this time frame that I'm given. Even though I feel like you're never really gonna truly understand what your purpose is, maybe until later on in life. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you gotta be able to take time and adjust, but yeah.
And your purpose might not stay the same entirely.
Yeah, exactly.
Well.
Exactly. So
that's why I like talking to old people though, bro, because like I look at old people as like treasures. Like mm-hmm. if somebody is able to stay on this earth for like 80 years plus, it's like, okay bro, what are you mm-hmm. doing here still? Like, what do I need to learn from you?
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know what I'm saying? Even the old ones that be like me sometimes is like, still like, what do I need to be learning from yeah. you, because you still here for a reason.
And funny enough, it's probably like a whole, if you take time to learn their story, there's probably a reason that leads up to why they yeah. they are the reason that they are, for real, for real.
There's literally a book on, every time I scroll on TikTok, I be seeing like on the TikTok shop, it'd be like a book, and it's called like, Mom, I Want to Hear Your Story, or Dad, I Want to
Hear Your Story. Yeah.
I just ordered that.
What's
yeah.
it about?
It's literally, it's like,
it's a journal,
it's like
basically
a journal, mm-hmm. and it has different questions, and it's like, talk to me about your parents, talk to me about you growing up, how were you in school, mm-hmm. when did you realize such and like, it's just
when
a
was
whole
your
bunch
first
of,
girlfriend
yeah.
this, that, and
yeah.
the third.
It's a
so
whole
it's
bunch
a,
of different
a book
questions.
With questions to ask people to like to,
it's yeah. particularly like your parents or like grandparents
oh,
or something.
Gotcha,
so you would give
gotcha,
it to them
gotcha,
and
gotcha.
You know they would fill it out
gotcha,
over the years
gotcha,
and then ultimately give it to you.
Gotcha.
So that's something that I definitely, I'm, you said you ordered. I'm from
yeah,
the, I'm
so that story
that.
Can go on.
Yeah,
you feel
exactly.
me? You always have that story.
Exactly. And yeah, like older people, people that came before you, there's so much to learn from them. Mm-hmm. Like, they've
plus,
seen the world.
That's our only piece of history we gonna have.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
them and their stories.
And trust, like, they gonna remember that history. They don't yeah. remember nothing else, yeah. for real, for real.
Yeah.
yeah.
Like, I remember when I was younger, I love listening to like stories that my dad used to tell me about like his life, because I feel like he had like the most interesting life ever. Like
yeah.
as a, from a kid's perspective, mm-hmm. it was like, wow, like,
because you ain't even experienced half
yeah,
of life for real.
Exactly.
You like, just a jit riding a bike down the street.
And it's like, even now that I'm actually experienced more and more, it's like I can only imagine what the people that are around me and older than me, like, they mm-hmm. have gone through. They lived through a completely different time period.
I would say the era was completely different.
Exactly.
Too,
like,
so.
we're literally the first era to have social media, like technology to the degree that we have it. Like, mm-hmm. yeah. technology has never been as advanced as it is right now. Like, Elon Musk just dropped robots. Like,
that's
yeah.
crazy.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that, there was movies years ago about stuff like this.
Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah.
No, that's wrong. Shoot, we're gonna switch up the conversation a little bit. So I wanna ask y'all, well, I'm gonna play the video as to which to where this topic derived from. But overall, I wanna get y'all idea to think if you feel like black people will ever come together to be free. But I'm gonna play it first so y'all can hear it, and then we gonna, I wanna hear y'all thoughts.
There will come a time when black people wake up and become intellectually independent enough to think for themselves, as other humans are intellectually independent enough to think for themselves, then the black man will think like a black man, and he will feel for other black people. And this new thinking and feeling will cause black people to stick together. And then at that point, you'll have a situation where when you attack one black man, you are attacking all black men. And this type of black thinking will cause all black people to stick together. And this type of thinking also will bring an end to the brutality inflicted upon black people by white people. And it is the only thing that will bring an end to it. That there
all right. will come a time. So that voice was Malcolm X, and he was speaking on, from that video, the point to where black people come together, they'll have enough intelligence to really come together and understand and think for themselves about what does freedom look like to them, what is dreams and aspirations that they have, what does that look like and how they can achieve that, and more so having the intelligence to work along other black people to really come together to not only achieve those things, but achieve ultimately freedom from brutality of white people, and freedom just from the injustice that black people have gone through for centuries and just throughout just the history of time, for real. So obviously, as y'all know, this election, we talked about it the last episode, but it's not even more so just focused on the election. But obviously, we had an intelligent, qualified black woman put up the run for the next president of the United States. But unfortunately, she didn't win. So not even just in that stance. So what are your thoughts about if y'all feel like black people will ever come together in a sense enough to where we could ultimately be free from the struggle that we've gone through our whole life and just be free enough to where we could establish and stand on our own 10 toes?
Honestly, I would love for that to happen. But we know, you know, no matter who you are, people are going to have different viewpoints of certain things, feel me? Like, you can have the majority of people feeling like the same way, but also other people may feel that same way, but they have different reasons to why they feel that way or see it that way. So, you know, like, people raised in different environments, things like that. So, like, the environment they're raised in caused them to see, like, oh, no, they only doing this because of this, or feel me? Or they feel like this way because this happened to them or this didn't happen to them, you feel me? So it's like, it's always going to be that somebody that got a different viewpoint, you know, had different experience or whatnot, to where, like, it don't come together.
Exactly. Everybody views the world differently because of the environment that they grew up in. That's literally where the saying, you're a product of your environment, comes from. Like, I can't relate to somebody else from a all the way across the country that grew up, you know, completely different than how I grew up from down south, you know what I'm saying? I can't expect their viewpoints and their ideologies to match mine because we've experienced life completely differently. But I do think the common ground can come when we as a people decide that it is okay to have different views, but there is always a way to agree to disagree, almost. There's a way to put differences aside to prioritize the greater good, in a sense. Like, even with one of the biggest things that I will say I feel like hinders us as black people is, believe it or not, the concept of like strict religion. Because when it comes to, like, previous generations, like, I literally just seen a video about this on TikTok. It was like, the previous generations before us, they were very, like, strict on go to school, do this, go to church, live life this way, yada, yada, yada. This new generation, their parents were more so, the system is against us, like, F the government, F the police, like, you know, bringing the kids, the YNs, to act the way they act. Everything is about retaliation. You got to earn your respect. I don't care because they don't care about me. So you can see the shift in the dynamic of how we used to act in the past and how we act now because of the beliefs that the parents and, you know, the people that brought them up instilled into them. Now, when I was mentioning the whole religious thing, I just think, like, sometimes there are some people that are quick to block out. They'll put, like, a mental block in their mind if someone doesn't have the same ideologies as them. And because of that, that causes division amongst our community.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are, for example, there's very Christian people that live their life and they almost like prosecute others for not believing what they believe in. Mm-hmm. And then there's also Christian people that they believe in what they believe in and they respect other people for not believing in their beliefs.
Right.
But for the group that prosecutes others for not believing in what they believe in and, oh, you know, you're going to go to hell or you're going to do this, your life isn't going to be good because you haven't done X, Y, and Z. It's like that's a very selfish way of thinking because it's like you can't sit here and say that your way of living is going to work for somebody else
mm-hmm.
because it works for you.
Yeah.
Because like we just mentioned, everybody's a product of their environment. Everybody has experienced different things. So what works for you may not work for the next person. The way that you communicate with God may not be the way that the next person communicates with God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody's relationship with God isn't going to be the same.
Right.
You know, God may talk to you through dreams. God may talk to me through music or something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like it's completely different dynamics in the way that we perceive life. So for us to, you know, like be quick to, nah, you're wrong, you're right, I think that ultimately is what's causing the division and causing, like, you know, us not to come together completely.
Mm-hmm.
And I think once we get past that, then maybe we'll be able to achieve what
I think, bro. We gotta give ourselves a little bit more grace, cause like, I don't know, it's like we always talk about like what Black people aren't doing, but we have a lot of successful Black people.
Of course.
We have a lot of great things going on. So I see your point of just getting people to, you know, be comfortable with agreeing to disagree, but I feel like we're really not moving forward with anything because we always criticizing. Like we have had multiple things that have worked. We've had multiple people that have been successful within our tribe. So I feel like the next step is just to keep pushing those people forward and keep motivating and keep doing the positive things to so that can keep working. I feel like we always take 10 steps back when it's like, okay, what can we do to fix the Black problem? And that just keeps repeating itself. That's not doing nothing. We're never going to get on. Nobody is ever really going to be on the same page with nothing.
Mm-hmm.
If you put a group of people, it's going to be rare, except if you're on trial and you got a jury or something. But like, other than that, nobody's really going to have the same 100%, you know, agreeance on something. So I think the next step forward is just to motivate the people that's still interested in shifting the community, because there's a lot of people that aren't interested anymore because they see how things are going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Things are going on, you know, in the higher ups.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, motivate the people that are still encouraged to go out in these communities and help these kids. Like, that's really the main goal. It's always going to be the main goal, is to help these kids see better, because with the technology and stuff that we got, they're seeing a lot of bad things, but they don't understand that that's really not the real world. Like,
that's not the only perspective.
Like, you have Black faces in some of the most important positions, but it's not broadcasted enough.
Right.
It's not shown enough. So give us some grace, like black people to Black people. Give each other grace and know that everyone is still dealing with past traumas from things that have happened, and just focus on the positive so that we can move forward.
And I was going to say, in regards to especially what you were saying, I think the hardest reason why it feels impossible to give ourselves grace, because it feels like no matter how much we achieve, no matter how many positions we fill, it feels like we're never moving forward.
Right.
And I think because the way how things have been set up, to where it's always felt like, okay, this is a pedestal of white people, or not even just white people, just everybody else. And then there's this pedestal of Black people, to where we're inferior to everybody else, no matter how much talent, specialties, gifts, qualities that we have to offer, and how much we utilize those things to invest into ourselves, our community, and just the system around us. It just feels like well, dang, like, why I feel like we not going nowhere, or feel like even I'm not gonna lie, I'm pretty sure a lot of people during the election, when they heard those results, everybody just felt drained, cause like,
yeah,
we done put all that effort going to people's doors, people's houses, calling, texting, utilizing social media, utilizing the platform to really outreach, to advocate on the possibilities of what Black people can do when we're put on that platform, and just to have all of that just go down the drain, it's just like, it just feels like, dang, like,
yeah,
what's the point of keep fighting?
Yeah, but we're placed in a, like, uncomfortable situation, though. Like, mm-hmm. we can't act like we were given the keys when they said that we were free, because we weren't. Like, it's still an ongoing process. Like, we're still in a system that's, we're programmed to fail in. And yeah, I feel like that's what people got to understand. Like, it's still not written for us to win, but let's look at the people who have won, mm-hmm. who are doing great things, and let's try to model that, or if not model that, see what they did to critique it, so we can keep figuring out ways. And I know with, like, the presidential election and all the other stuff going on, that it does feel like things are going to waste, but it's not. Like, mm-hmm. you still have to keep fighting and still educating people, because that's what it really boils down to, like, the education level of everything. So you still have to keep educating people. Just because the nation took a quote-unquote loss doesn't mean it's an actual loss. Like, you mm-hmm. can still, us in this room, we're still able to be whatever we want to be. So it's like, yeah.
You good.
I'm done.
But yeah. I also want to play this video clip. It's funny that you played a Malcolm X clip, because literally I just posted a Denzel Washington clip where he was actually speaking on Malcolm X. Hold on.
Is the sheep preaching hate when he says, I'm not going to let the wolf eat me anymore? If the wolf comes in here, next time he comes in here, I'll do whatever I have to do to keep him off my back. Is the sheep violent, or is the wolf the violent one? He wasn't teaching hate. He was teaching common sense. You know, somebody's knocking you over the head, stop them. Do whatever you have to do to stop them. You know, the ones that were knocking him over the head were afraid of the fact that he might swing back. So they said, no, he's teaching hate. He's violent.
And basically what he was getting at was the fact that, you know, white people and the majority was saying that Malcolm X had a very violent perspective on
freedom
and gaining, you know, justice. And Denzel was saying, is putting it into a metaphoric, you know, stance, as is the sheep preaching hate, or is he basically saying, I'm not gonna let the wolf eat me anymore?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, and I think that that really goes, you know, towards, like, a lot of times when you choose to stand up for yourself or fight back, you get portrayed as the villain or the mm-hmm. problem, when it's like, really, I'm just not gonna let you take advantage of me anymore.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause we all know that, you know, Martin Luther King was more of the peaceful advocator. He was more so, why can't we all hold hands,
mm-hmm. right?
And Malcolm X was like,
They don't want to hold hands with us.
So, you know, you're not going to be able to hit me anymore, because I'm going to hit you back.
Mm-hmm.
So it just goes to show that, you know, sometimes you have to take that a little bit more aggressive approach to demand your respect, you know, because mm-hmm. at the end of the day, we all would love to live in a world where respect is just naturally given to each other. But sometimes you have to make people, you know, like,
respect your integrity.
Exactly. So, yeah, I just wanted to share that clip, because I think that was very detrimental to what we were talking about.
Yeah, and that was more so like how you said that, you know, the difference between, like, how they approach the betterment for us. That's kind of like, you know, Booker T. Washington, E.B. Du Bois. You feel me? Like, they had two different mindsets mm-hmm. of how we should go about the betterment of African Americans. You feel me? Like, one took that aggressive, you know, seen as an aggressive, you know, attempt.
Yeah.
But, you know, sometimes in some situation that may just work. You feel me? You got to know when to be, you know, subtle, and when to be aggressive when you're trying to get the thing that you want. So.
I agree, because definitely, like, I'll even say for me, like, growing up, a lot of times I was super nice to everybody. Like, I was super chill, you feel me? But it got to a point where I started notice,
people, you had to hit that switch.
Yeah, people will take advantage of you. And people will take niceness for weakness.
And then not even the funny stuff. You were a shorter kid, yeah, so you already know how that goes for real.
Of course. I was always smaller. I was shorter. So, you feel me? Naturally, people going to choose who they see to be the weakest link.
Mm-hmm.
And then once, you know, I started fighting back, like quite literally fighting back, like it didn't happen anymore.
Yeah.
So it's definitely one of those that's just like, you know, you gotta be able to stand your ground when needed, because if not, the world will run over you. It's literally a dog eat dog world. Like, yeah. So
the other thing I wanted to ask too was, so how do y'all feel about in the cases to where, because I mean, it's happened before to where, for example, like with George Floyd and with other situations of police brutality, large masses of black people came together to protest and argue against the cases of what was wrong for real, so justice can be served in those cases. But it seems like, at least from my perspective, depending on the situation, it'll be kind of inconsistent for real.
I don't know what professor brought this up, but it was one of my professors, and it was like, do y'all remember the Black Lives Matter that was on Gang Street that they painted on the road?
Mm-hmm.
And it was in yellow. They was like, where is it? What happened to it?
Maybe I wasn't paying attention at that time.
Gone.
It was a Black Lives Matter.
It was and they had it in yellow. On Gang Street by
was it? Cause I remember at one point it was painted. The street was painted a rainbow.
Like a mural.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It was like a mural.
They got rid of it,
and it was like, and that just kind of goes to what you were saying about stuff being like inconsistent. Cause like, how do y'all have it just during that time period when like all the situation was going on, but now we go there and it's gone.
Cause right. you had eras like during the civil rights era, to where you had the Black Panther Party, you had this blip.
That still exists.
I'm knowing.
Yeah.
But I'm saying, like, you had situations to where you have these large mass of group people, black people, to come together to deal with all these different situations of injustice to reach that goal of freedom, whatever that may look like to us, for real. But it's like, it feels like it's like a wave. Like, it's depending on the situation, it's times where we all come together, and it's time where it's like everybody just sits, for real. So it's like,
right,
how did that kind of go in hand with also the question as well too, to where if we feel like we'll ever be in a place to where we can ultimately get to what we look as freedom, for real.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Like, it's like the inconsistency, like you can't just say, oh, you know, like, well, we can, you feel me? Like, you can be like, oh, we feel like we deserve this or whatnot, or better treatment or whatnot. But if we're gonna do it, don't just pop up to the occasion when something happens to us. I feel like we can do it, like, just to do it, you feel me? Like, if you want that representation, you gotta keep, you know, repping it, you feel me? Like, like you said, the Black Lives Matter thing, like, how people, you know, we get together when things happen just to do that. But if you truly feel like, yeah, you know, your lives matter as it does, you feel me? Like, stand on that, like, 365, you feel me? Like, not just when things happen.
Nah, that's valid. That's valid for real.
What's up, Motion Movers? It's your favorite Millennials in Motion co-host Ryan here to let you guys know, if you do not already, we highly encourage you guys to follow our social media page, millennials.in.motion, on both Instagram and TikTok to receive the latest updates and upcoming exciting things we have for you guys this season. Continue enjoying this episode where we're going to really give the real spiel. Let's get it. Let's go. Presented by 90.5, The Flavor Station.
All right, so I'm not sure if y'all have been, you know, seeing the whole Kodak Black stream, but one of the things that a lot of people were saying is, like, Kodak has a very bad drug addiction, and it's easy to, you know, from the outside looking in, ask why can't someone stop, or why is he choosing to do these types of things to his body or whatever. But a lot of times people just use those vices and those, you know, addictions, guilty pleasures, to help them cope with whatever they're dealing with in life. So have you guys ever had a time where you were using things that probably weren't so positive, like addictions or guilty pleasures, to kind of help you cope with things that you were dealing with? For me personally, I'll say, like, when I was younger, I would rely on football, which isn't necessarily, I think it wasn't necessarily a bad thing that I was using football to let out my emotions. It was better than holding it in. But I will say there was a point where I wasn't able to play football anymore. So at that point in time, I was holding it in. And I think that was probably one of my, one of the times where I could have found some ways that I could help, like, myself cope with the emotions. And then even when it came to, like, early on in college, like late high school, like I would rely on like hypersexual activities and like having sex to kind of like distract my mind and get me away from certain things that I was dealing with. But then I realized how unhealthy that was, so I had to use I had to use different resources and different ways to kind of help myself deal with trauma and things like that, to cope with my emotions and put limits on myself. So yeah.
I would say for myself, honestly, I've never experienced any hard-on addictions, hardcore addictions like marijuana, alcohol, pornography, none of that stuff for real. But I will say I've had guilty habits more than guilty addictions, to where if there are certain situations to where I was experiencing trauma or if I was experiencing just a lot, I kind of would just hold it all in and just be a ticking time bomb, I guess, if you want to call it for real, because when I was younger, I never really understood the concept of emotional intelligence, and I never understood the idea of like how to conceptualize your emotions to like, what are you feeling? Why are you feeling the way that you feel? And kind of just going through that process of like feeling my emotions and figuring out how to properly react to my emotions. Instead, if I was just upset, if I was overwhelmed, I would just kind of just sit in it for real, and I would just let it just sit to myself. Or if something, there was like a trigger, like let's say for example, I experienced growing up a lot saying, being told, oh, you can't do anything right, oh, you're useless, oh, you're always doing this, that, and the third wrong, you feel me? So it's certain things, even if it's not stated exactly as the same way or the same format, I'll receive it the same way, and it's like when I do, I'll just shut down. And sometimes I do experience that now as well, but I've become a lot more aware of my emotions as to certain things, as to why I'll feel those certain, why I will feel a certain way I will feel in regards to those emotions, but kind of more so how to react in regards to those feelings. So one, I'm not just sitting in my trauma or my experiences and going down a black hole, because I've done that and it's not fun, but also to just be able to utilize those experiences to grow and to kind of just experience more joy in the midst of everything for real, if that makes sense. But yeah.
Yeah, and it was pretty much the same thing for me. Like, growing up, I kept a lot of stuff to myself. Like now I'm doing better with it, poetry or whatnot, things like that, as an outlet and things like that nature. But it also got to a point to where if someone hurt me or if I was feeling some type of way, I reflect like how I'm feeling on others. So it was to a point to where I'm good with words too. Like I have a way with words. So like I could say some stuff that, can really hit hard, especially if I knew something personal about you, you feel me?
Mm-hmm.
So I was the type that like use certain things to hurt people just because I was feeling some type of way and I had to understand, bro, that's not like the right way to move, you feel me? Just because you hurting. Just talk to somebody. Don't like hurt somebody, cause that's somebody you intentionally try to hurt. Cause you hurt, maybe have been that person that can like help you. You feel me? Like be the one you could have talked to. So I had to understand that at a young age.
I feel like I got both. I feel like I got a guilty addiction guilty habit.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like my guilty habit is playing with my ears. And like, no BS. Like me playing with my ears it definitely like calms me down, and like it's definitely been my outlet since a child. But I think since I've been doing it since a child, like it's starting to mess my ears up. But I still don't be caring. Like I still be playing with my ears and stuff like that. Which
like, how does that work? You just literally just
I could put my ear inside my ear. Yeah, probably it's a little moist right now, so but I could flip it. Hold on. It's not gonna stay, but yeah. It's because my cartilage is not really there at the top of my ear. Like, I don't really have tough cartilage.
If y'all could see the studio right now, I'm actively trying to copy Camille.
Yeah, but he can't. Look, mine's still in. I'd be like that. Then I'll just, or if I'm just sitting like this, I just be playing with it.
When did you realize you could do that?
When I was young, like when my grandma used to like hot comb my hair. So like when you get your hair hot comb, like they actually always like hold your ear like this.
They don't burn your ear.
Yeah, so like I just one day was playing with it and I flipped it inside and I was like, oh snap, I done unlocked a new code. I don't gotta hold my ears no more, bro. Like, so yeah, that's a very bad guilty pleasure because like I said, it is messing up like my ears and stuff like that. But I don't think that's something I'll ever be able to stop. I feel like it's another form of like somebody sucking their thumb. But I just play with my ears. My guilty addiction is my smoking, bro. But I feel like I got way better. Although I don't really smoke like that, I do smoke every day. And somebody was like, oh, if you smoke every day, that's an addiction. And I was like, well, you kind of right. So I guess I kind of do got like an addiction, but like I be thinking an addiction is, oh yeah, I need my, you know what I'm saying, I need my little itch. But it's like, you know,
it's different variations as
if
well.
I think because there was a time where I was smoking very heavily. Now I haven't been smoking as much just because I don't know what it was. In the beginning when I was smoking, it was very euphoric for me. Like I would just be giddy, I'd be laughing, like everything would be funny, like the world just feels like so fun, right?
Right.
But I don't know if it's just because my body started adapting to that feeling of being high, so the real world started kicking in as I was high. But when I used to start, like now, if I get high and I'm not mentally in a space where it's like I'm having a good time, I start overanalyzing and overthinking and overlooking at every small little detail that I do, or I start heavily criticizing myself. Like I'll be like, you sitting here and you're high and you got XYZ to do. You could be doing this, you could be doing that. And it like literally drives me insane. And I hate that feeling. So I had stopped and started slowing down. So now like I'll probably smoke like when I'm like after I get everything done, or you feel me, after I've completed all my stuff, I'll use it kind of like as a reward or whatever,
like an incentive.
And I just that goes back to, you know, the if you smoke every day, it's an addiction. I mean, at the same time, you gotta realize some people smoke for medicinal reasons. Some people, you know, use it to help with their anxiety and XYZ. Like, the perspective of smoking has changed so much, especially with marijuana, you know, because it actually helps some people. And I think if you, as long as you have like your, I'll say like boundaries or your limitations, you know yourself, then you know you're fine. Like if you smoke every day, but you do it when you come home after your work and after you finished everything and before you go to bed, then who's to tell you to stop? Because, you know, you're not hurting nobody by doing that. Mm-hmm. But if you're a person that you get up in the morning, you smoke before you go to class, you smoke before you go to, before you got it, before you eat, you smoke before you go to bed, you smoke before you go to church, you smoke. It's like,
all right, nah, chill out.
You know, it's like, I don't know. You might, you know.
Now we
gotta
ask you some questions. Yeah, shortly. You
might. So I do got an addiction.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. You feel me? And I accepted that. You feel me?
Yeah. You gotta, you know.
But another thing is though,
if you can do that and be productive, then by all means, it's still an addiction. But by all means, you know what I'm saying? Do what you do, because who's to tell you you still getting your stuff done?
Yeah.
But you know, there's literally some people that will do that, and they're lazy. They can't get stuff done. They can't think. They don't want to do nothing. It's just like, it's really just about how you operate and how productive you are.
Yeah.
When you have to just know yourself.
Yeah.
Because I mean, honestly, like I've come to learn that like an addiction doesn't always have to be a bad thing. Because it's
right.
Things that people do as a positive addiction, like let's say go to the gym every day.
Yeah, that's an addiction.
Versus like a negative addiction, like you drinking a bottle of alcohol every day, you get what I'm saying? So it's kind of just like understand that leverage of if you're doing something consistently throughout, what is the reasoning behind it? And that kind of dictates like, okay, if you're doing it for this reason, then maybe you need to change what you're doing or change your reasoning or just don't do it at all.
You gotta do stuff. Be very intentional about your actions.
Yeah, I do agree with that.
And that's one thing that I've been trying to practice is like really being intentional with my actions and the things I do. Because a lot of times I just be doing stuff just to do it. So, yeah.
Which sometimes is okay, honestly.
Isn't a bad thing. But that be your whole lifestyle.
Yeah.
You know, going back to like the whole Kodak Black thing. That man has, you know, dealt with a lot.
Yeah. I don't like the Kodak hate, bro.
I don't either.
Even before he became famous for real too.
Like people don't understand where he grew up, his storyline, how much people he actually has to take care of, how many friends he's had died, how many friends he's, you know, had go to prison. He was in prison getting beat on. It's a lot. Like, you know what I'm saying? The man, it's not just as easy as, you know, just stop taking drugs. Like, it's not that simple. Like, you know what I'm saying? And it's honestly, I think sometimes though, I will say, sometimes I feel like he be doing that to go viral. I think he be doing that on purpose.
He be trolling, bro. And I don't understand how y'all don't see that be a troll.
Like, yeah, sometimes, like, I will say, I be noticed. Because if you watch the stream, in the beginning of the stream, bro was normal. Bro was very normal. And it was literally like a switch. Like he was like, let me act like
people don't understand him because people don't understand his, like, accent or the stuff he be saying
too.
If
you're not from South Florida and you
they already gonna think you tripping about what you're saying. So like with him, you know, but really if you look at Kodak, bro, that's how a lot of niggas in Florida act, bro. Like, so it's like I do feel like Kodak got a addiction. But the whole Florida got an addiction for real. Yeah. If we being honest with you.
What time we at?
We at 49. Alright, bet that. So, with that being said, we're gonna get into our shout outs. I'll go first. Always thank God. I wanna thank my family, my mama, all my brothers, for real. And the original Beta Alpha Chapter, Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated, for making me their Mr. AKA, you feel me, for this next school year, you type vibe. So just very grateful for that whole experience. Oh, for my pageant brothers too, the 11 secret weapons, you feel me. And yeah, I rock with y'all too, the crew, man. Even though all of us not here, big shout out to y'all. And yeah, that's pretty much it for me.
Same for me, you know. I always want to give a shout out to God, you know, ahead of my life, feel me, everything, how far I got because of him, you know what. And then, you know, my mom, give a shout out to her, appreciate everything she done for me, all the sacrifices and everything, you know.
I'm gonna give a shout out to myself, and this is not in a selfish way, it's more in a way of we gotta learn how to pat ourselves on the back some more. You know, give ourselves some more credit than we do.
Like, I'm proud of you type thing. Like, that's
you know, even though life be life and stuff be happening, you still here, you still doing what you can to get stuff done. So I just wanna give a shout out to myself and then my family and then God and then, you know, everybody that's in my corner, in my tribe, in my community, my village that helps me progress every day and get the things done that I need to get done. So
I'm gonna give a shout out to everybody that's in J school right now, bro, cause like we have not been asleep since homecoming. And like that is
y'all professors slaving y'all for real.
I wish it was a joke, my boy. Like, is, you know, it's rough when nobody has been having a good week. Like, nobody having a good day, nobody having a good week, everybody tired, everybody. And it's just crazy.
The morale has been down.
It has
y'all.
Been down. It like, has been everybody down. Has been down. And I could see it in everybody. Like, everybody is just so tired. And mm-hmm. I'm in the same boat. So it's like, I hope everybody really does finish this semester strong. I don't care if y'all tired of me seeing it. But it's just like, I know how hard it is. Very, very hard. Very, very tiring. Sometimes professors don't care that we have a life outside of school. So I just hope the end of the semester doesn't like drain anybody too bad to cause them to, you know, crash out or nothing like that. And yeah, y'all keep y'all head up. It's almost over.
Yeah. Sure. Well, that being said, y'all, appreciate y'all for listening to another episode of Millennials in Motion. And until next week or next episode, we gonna catch y'all, man. Peace.
Pow.
Millennials in Motion is a product of WANM FM 90.5 in the School of Journalism and Graphic Communication at Florida A&M University.